The longest-running off-road and action motorsports radio show on the planet is coming to you live with the biggest guest in motorsports. Here is the only man on the planet who can pack this much dirt slinging and tire slaying into 2 hours a week. Sit back, strap in, and be prepared to get your ears blown. Here is Jim Beaver and the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Welcome to the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor, kicking off 2020, first episode of the year. And yes, you heard that right, the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. General Tire, been a partner in the show almost since the beginning. They have stepped up their involvement, taking on the title sponsor role, and I am absolutely stoked. We'll be doing a lot of stuff with them, remote stuff around the country. They got some badasses from all different walks in motorsports and influencers, and we're going to be on-site at events from coast to coast. I'm really, really excited to ramp things up with General Tire. You're going to see in the coming weeks, you're going to see some branding changes on the website already taking place. You're going to see some changes to the intro show and to a lot of things in and around the show. And I am really stoked to have them on board and to have Polaris Razor back in the same position that they have been for a very, very long time. So, yes, welcome aboard, General Tire. Welcome, I guess, further aboard. Thank you, Polaris Razor. And we got some amazing partners coming on board this year, my good friends at Rigid Industries. We've got GSP XTV Axles. We have some of the best, businesses in motorsports and in the endemic coming on board. Our good friends at Acronis, they are on board as well. Just so many amazing partners in the show. Thank you, guys. It is going to be one heck of a 2020. Speaking of 2020, this is going to be a little bit different episode today. It's kind of like a soft start to the year. We're going to have a hard start next week. We've got some massive news in regards to how you can listen to the show coming in the upcoming weeks as well. This is kind of a soft start. Mainly because it's the first week of the year and I have a race. I literally all week long been planning for the Best in the Desert Parker 250. I'm going to be banging doors with the best in the business in my Polaris Razor this weekend. So we didn't have a chance to do a full rollout of the show. We got a couple of amazing guests this week, and then it's a little bit different format to the show. Next week, we will be back to our traditional format that you guys know, love, and expect. But our two guests this week, I'm very, very excited to have Jackie Reese. Now, I was up at ERX and did the X Games Snowbike Qualifiers at ERX. And there was this girl that really caught my attention and everybody there. Her name's Jackie Reese. She is an absolute badass on a snowbike competing against a guy. She actually raced every single race that day, just about every single race. I think maybe there was one or two she didn't race, but like full-on Iron Woman style. And she hauls ass, and she was racing against the guys. I went, you know what? I got to have her on the show. I think this interview we're going to roll out today, you guys are going to absolutely love. And this girl, she is she's a force to be reckoned with on a snow bike, and I think you guys are really going to enjoy this interview with Jackie Reese. You should definitely give her a follow on Instagram. She's slaying it. And then we've got an extended cut, a very long interview with my boy Street Bike Tommy. Tommy, he just launched a new show where he blows things up. Yeah, Street Bike Tommy blowing things up. Well, you know what that means? We're going to have him on the show, and anytime I get to catch up with my boy Street Bike Tommy, talk about what's happening there at the Pastrana compound, his barbecue business, racing things. Things, wrecking things, blowing things up. You know it's going to be a fun time. So Street Bike Tommy is on the show this week, and we're probably lucky that this particular episode isn't airing in national syndication, because I will give you fair warning, maybe a few four-letter words are tossed around when Street Bike Tommy and I do an interview together. So they aren't bleeped, so I'm just telling you, if you're one of our younger listeners, expect that. Not too bad. It's not like the whole thing's full of stuff, but just a little disclaimer there. But yes, it is going to be a great show. I know over the holidays I made my way up to Minnesota. Spent some time with my boy Levi LaValle. He took me snowmobiling, and I got to tell you, I've been snowmobiling plenty of times in my life, but snowmobiling with Levi LaValle, that is always fun. You know, we're just riding ditches, going across frozen lakes, things like that, and anytime you can watch one of the best guys to ever ride a snowmobile and just follow him along, absolutely amazing, mind-blowing to see how good that guy was. I mean, he was, like, jumping out of ditches and doing tricks, like, just, it was, like, stuff, like, you just, I don't know. It's crazy. You got to see it. But funny story. And I'm going to have Levi on in the next couple of weeks. So he'll be able to chime in on this. But and he's actually starting his own podcast, which I think will be kind of rad. Levi, so we literally get to this frozen lake. And, you know, it's been a warm winter for Minnesota for the most part. Things are frozen over, but he goes, all right, Jimmy. He says, see those spots out there where there's the water? And I said, yeah. You know, he's like, it's all mushy and stuff like that. He's like, this lake, he's like, it froze over. And he's like, but he says there's some soft spots where you might fall through the ice a little bit. I'm like, fall through the ice a little bit, dude. Like, I'm from Arizona. I don't like this fall through the ice stuff. And he goes, no. He's like, so there's ice and then there's some water. And then there's more ice. And he's like, see where that's at? He's like, it's not open water. It's just like, it's really kind of wet and slushy. And he's like, it is water. But he's like, 6 or 8 inches under it, there's more ice. I promise you. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to argue with Levi LaValle. Boy's from Minnesota. He knows his ice. But he's like, I'm just telling you. He's like, if you're going on your snowmobile across this lake and the ice breaks, he's like, just floor it. And he's like, as long as you're going, you're going to be fine. And I'm like, so the ice is going to break and my snowmobile is going to fall into the water. But as long as I stay on the gas, I'm good. He goes, yeah, you're good. He's like, I promise underneath the water, there's more ice. And I'm looking at him like, and then he just goes, all right, I'll see you on this other side of the lake. And he just hauls ass. And so I'm looking at this lake and there goes Levi and he's just buzzing around there. And I'm like, well, this is about sketchy, right? And so I'm like, all right. I'm like, let's go for it. I go, and we get out there, and about this spot, he told me, boom, ice breaks. Bottom of the snowmobile starts falling through the ice. I gun that thing, and I'm like, whoa, this is like the, you know, and I know there's ice under there because he tells me, but literally the back track is in the water, and I'm chewing through the ice and the powder that's formed on there. I get across the lake, and I got to tell you, you want to talk about an adrenaline rush, and I know there was ice under there, but the feeling of riding a snowmobile across a lake and having the ice break underneath you, even though there's another layer of ice, like, 6-8 inches down, it is the weirdest feeling. And, we had a great time. I got to give a big thank you to him, for loaning me the sled and, taking me out. But I got to tell you, that was kind of one of the highlights of my winter break. It was pretty wild. But snowmobile in Levi LaValle, like, who's going to turn that down? Nobody. Good times up there. I know we'll have him as a guest on the show coming up. You know, like I said before, it's going to be a little bit weird show today. I mean, normally we'd be talking about Supercross. We'd have power rankings. We'd be talking about the Dakar rally going on. We are going to get to all of that. It's going to be the start of next week, though, because right now I am literally heading to jump in my Razor and take it through tech inspection at the race, and I'm recording the show kind of in between that. So a couple of great guests today. Jackie Reese, trust me, follow this girl on Instagram. You're going to like it. You're going to like this interview. She is rad. She deserves the follow. Give her some love. And then Street Bike Tommy, man, what more can I say? You know, Street Bike Tommy is a badass. So, we are going to roll this, and you guys tuning in, hopefully you guys enjoy it. I'll be back at the end of the show to kind of wrap things up here. Should be a solid one today with Jackie Reese, Street Bike Tommy. And follow me along this weekend at Jim Beaver 15 on social media. I will be racing my Polaris Razor out in the desert, banging doors with the best in the business, and it should be fun. So, we're going to take a short commercial break here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Show powered by Polaris Razor. We come back, Jackie Reese, she's locked and loaded right here on the show.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you, but you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Ford WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, Ford WP has you covered.
Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in-store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.
For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Super ATV is the industry leader in aftermarket UTV and ATV parts and accessories. Super ATV products are designed, engineered, tested, and manufactured right here by Super ATV. Whether you're looking to upgrade your suspension, get stronger axles, or you're looking for a new winch to get you out of a tough spot, Super ATV has what you're looking for. And since we know you're in a hurry, we offer fast, free shipping to the lower 48 states on all orders. Visit superatv.com now and get your UTV or ATV dialed in.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcasts, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I would like to welcome Jackie Reese to the show, who I met about a month ago at ERX Motor Park. Snow bike racer, what is happening, Jackie?
Oh, nothing. Just hanging out in the Starbucks parking lot.
Hanging out in the Starbucks parking lot. How's the weather up there in Minnesota right now?
Today is much warmer than yesterday. It was a balmy, like, 11 yesterday. Doing good at, like, 35 now.
Yeah. I got to say, I lucked out. I was in Minnesota after ERX for, like, 2 weeks. And I spent some time in northern Minnesota, did some snowmobiling with my buddy Levi, and I got to tell you, it was like mid-30s the entire time I was back there. And I've been in Minnesota sometimes in the wintertime. It was like negative 25. And I was like, what on earth are we doing here? Like 35 degrees plus fresh powder. Like, it was perfect.
Yes. We lucked out this year for sure.
Yeah. So far, right? It could get worse, though. Minnesota, you never know.
Yeah. Yes. Before you came up, it was like negative 20. It was terrible.
So I just avoided the nastiness. Oh, so yeah, no, I reached out to you. I'd heard of you, but never really met you or anything until ERX. And then all of a sudden we're at ERX Motor Park and, they start the racing, and here's, a girl racing named Jackie Reese, and she's doing pretty solid. And then the next race, here's Jackie Reese. And then the next race, here's Jackie Reese. And then the next race, here's Jackie Reese. And I'm like, holy crap. Like, I don't know. What did you end up doing? Like 12 races that day or something like crazy like that?
Yeah, I did 10 races that day, 50 laps of racing, plus about 5 laps of practice in the morning. So I was definitely beat by the end of the day, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was funny because, all of a sudden we're up there announcing, and then you walk, you're like, hey, I'm Jackie, and we're like, yes, sit down, we want to talk to you, like, what, like, holy crap, like, most guys racing, like, they do a couple motos or whatever, and they're lick, like, well, what is the thought process you're putting your body through hell going through that many laps, and I mean, I know you enjoy it, like, what's the story, though? Like, I guess it's better to be on the bike than sitting in the pits, right?
Yeah, for sure. I the previous weekend, we had our first qualifier in Colorado, and they split that day up into two. So on the next weekend when we got to ERX, we were doing 2 days of racing in one. And, the way it's set up, you sign up for both rounds. So I didn't really realize I was racing that much until I, like, kind of sunk in the day before. I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm going to race a lot tomorrow. But it's totally worth it, at a shot to qualify for X Games and to prove a point in the women's class that we deserve our own class at X Games. So we came to make a statement, and hopefully we did that.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, how did all of a sudden, like, you get bit by the snowbike bug? Because I know you've raced motocross, you know, a good chunk of your life. But how did the gateway, I guess, to snowbikes open? Because, like, I've been calling the sport. I've done it for 3 or 4 years at ERX. Like, I've followed it for a while, but it's still kind of in its infancy. Like, you know what I mean? And there's a lot of people who haven't kind of crossed over and tried it yet that are motocross racers and things like that. Like, how did you, like, how was your gateway into snowbikes?
Yeah, so my best friend, Shayna, she was going out to Utah to go to a race, and I was home on J term. I was home from school, and she needed somebody to go with her. And I was like, well, I'm home. I'm not doing anything. I'll go with. Her dad, unfortunately, couldn't come with her that race, so we packed up. She was out in South Dakota, so I drove to her house, and then we drove from there, and she had her bike and her practice bike, and, like, halfway there, she was like, by the way, you're going to race. I was like, what? Okay, so I hopped on the bike that Saturday for practice in the morning, ended up racing that day, and took 3rd out of 4, so not terrible. Motocross experience definitely helped, but we've come a long way from then.
Yeah, it's funny just watching the sport, though. Like, you talk about you coming a long way, the sport's come a long way, because I know I'm going to have to go back to, like, 2013 or 14. First snowbike race I ever saw was, like, in Crested Butte, Colorado, and like, it kind of sucked to watch. I'll be honest with you. Like, it was bad. It was bad. That's the easiest way to put it. And I'm like, why would anybody want to do this? And then, like, fast forward, and I'm like, man, like, this is legit, like, bad fast. Like, you know, jumps are way bigger than they were. Like, I mean, the sport has come a hell of a long way, you know?
Yeah, the sport and the equipment and the riders, like, I think about motocross, like, how many decades have we put into bike development and rider development? And in the past 5 years, how far snow biking has come, you know, compared to that. So, you know, it is still a very young, small sport, but these guys that are out there winning X Games, like, they've figured it out. They're hitting triples. They're going fast. Like, it's really incredible. And it's awesome for me to be at the very beginning of it, too.
Yeah. Well, you know, and I think what's rad too is like, I've got a lot of good friends from, you know, professional motocross. I mean, Sarah Price, Jolene Van Vuit, Vicky Golden, like, they're all good friends of mine. And, you know, I saw what they did with kind of the sport of motocross, but now there's you and there's quite a few others. You mentioned your friend Shayna, and, you know, you got, like, this core group of girls who are really kind of trying to push the women's movement on snow bikes now.
Yeah, I started a page called Snowbike Girls about a year ago, and really it was because I was told that there aren't any women out there. And I was like, well, okay, I don't really believe that. So I started this page, and I have like hundreds of girls that don't necessarily race, but they go out there, they ride backcountry, and it's a great community just to show the power of numbers in the sport and show that, you know, we deserve a shot too. So it's definitely cool to be on that aspect of the growth of this tiny sport as well.
Yeah. Well, you being, you know, a motocross racer, what was the biggest transition? Because I know, like, snow bikes, I've ridden them, but not a lot. But, I mean, like, you know, the no front brake, right? I mean, they're like, from what I understand, it's like a complete change up from being fast on a dirt bike to being fast on a snow bike.
Yeah, so basically you don't really need to touch your brakes. It's just a brake on the track, and really if you let off the gas, you're sinking into the snow. It's so resistant on that bike. The biggest difficulty for me really was jumping with such a longer motorcycle. Like, just getting over in your head that, you know, like, how fast you have to go and things like that to calculate for that, you know, basically double the length of a dirt bike.
Yeah, I never really thought about that, you know, and that's kind of crazy, you know, and I've interviewed quite a bit of guys that are race snow bikes and stuff, but I didn't really think about that. Like, you've got to judge your speed a little bit different because you're going to case or hang up just because there's so much more off the rear end of the bike, right?
Yeah, exactly. And then we get into more technical tracks. So what we're racing really is more like supercross than motocross. So then you're trying to do very tight doubles in a, you know, in something that a snowmobile would be able to just kind of, like, ride over the top on. We're trying to double in these very small gaps in between jumps. So it becomes a whole new challenge, and it deserves a lot of respect for the guys that can really go for those technical rhythms and things like that.
Well, and that was going to be my next question, because I know you just raced Canterbury, which is, you know, it's kind of like the Indy 500 of snowmobile racing. It's a big it's a big event there in Minnesota. It's kind of like it's the one you want to win, right? But when you guys race with ISOC, you're racing on snowcross tracks. You know, the 180RX, it was kind of a little more designed for snow bikes and things like that. But, you know, like when you guys race with ISOC, I mean, it's a snowcross track. I mean, like you said, it's got to be a little bit harder for you just to adapt to that, you know, and change your riding style, because it is geared more towards snowmobile racing than snow bike racing.
Yeah, exactly. And it's been interesting to grow with them, because they're very interested in our sport. It's growing, and I have people come up to me at races and ask me about snow bikes, and people come now just to watch the snow bikes. They don't come to watch the snowmobiles anymore, which is something, you know, like 3-5 years ago, that was not a thing. So they've been awesome to try and work with us and see what can be better for us and for our show. And, you know, but we have had to adapt as well to things that are much more technical and much more supercrossy compared to the snow bike specific tracks that we had at ERX. And Colorado, where they're more motocrossy, the jumps are a little more spread out, so you can get a better flow through them and things like that.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, gosh, it's a, like you said, you were trying to qualify in for X Games and things like that. And, you know, and you, it was more kind of making a statement, hey, you know, we're here, you know, we want our moment at X Games. And, you know, I know it's funny, because there's a lot of disciplines, you know, I know, like, you know, and you look at Summer X and, you know, women's freestyle BMX, you know, and they're pushing really hard, kind of like you guys are on the snow bike thing, you know, trying to get an opportunity there to showcase, you know, what they have. What's next for you? Obviously, are you doing the whole ISOC schedule, or are you just doing some of those that are closer to Minnesota?
No, I'm doing the whole schedule. Last year I finished 10th overall in the snow bike class, and so now this year they've divided us up into amateur and pro. I'm still racing pro, and you know, my goal is to be top 10 again, which is definitely tough with the competition I'm racing. Last weekend our show was X Games, so it's really it was a tough weekend, I'll tell you that, but, you know, it's the tough times that really showcase your hard work and the people that are behind you and believe in you.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, I think that's kind of rad that you're racing pro, you know, because a lot of people are like, oh, I'm going to run amateur because I know I can win races. And you're like, you know, like, what's a podium in amateur? I'd rather, you know, if I can finish top 10 in pro, like, that's a bigger statement. Like, I can appreciate that, like, you pushing yourself and not laying up and taking, you know, I don't want to say take easy victories, because that's taking away from the talent that are running amateur, you know what I mean? But, like, you know, you're right. Just pushing yourself, right? I can appreciate that.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah. So, I don't know. All that being said, what's the next event for you? I know, obviously, you're kind of taking, I don't know. It seems like any event that pops up that's got snow bikes, you're bam, you're there, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I'm pretty diehard at this point. I graduated college last May and decided to postpone a career and put my effort into this for now. So, you know, if it's happening, I'm there. Next up is Deadwood, South Dakota Snowcross, and it's the same weekend as X Games. So, you know, I have a little bit better of a shot to do well, because everybody super fast will be at X Games. So hopefully, you know, last year it was a highlight for me. I got 2 podiums there, so I'm looking to do that again. And really, that weekend was so much fun. I met a bunch of little kids and little girls that think that snow biking is just so cool now. So I'm excited to go back to a place with people like that.
That's rad. You know, and you'd said, you know, you kind of, you obviously got a college degree to fall back on, but, you know, you're talking about, you know, trying to make a go of this thing. Like, how is it? Because it's a sport that's still, like you had said, kind of, it's getting established, but it's still in its infancy. I mean, you know, at some point, you know, I know some of the guys running X Games, they've got some big sponsors stepping in. And, you know, I know Timber Sled through Polaris has been really highly involved. But, I mean, are you, you know, are some of the doors starting to open with sponsors and things like that? And especially with what you're doing, like, are you still finding it pretty tough? Is it a pretty tough sell to get, you know, people on board with a snow bike program?
It's definitely difficult. Like, I reached out to so many out-of-industry companies this year and only heard back from, like, 3. 2 of them denied me, and luckily one of them, Soul Addict, they helped me out this year a little bit financially. But my biggest sponsor is really Yeti Snow MX. So you talk about Timber Sled and Polaris. Yeti Snow MX is, you know, is affiliated a bit with Camzo, but they're their own company. They make, I mean, in my opinion, which might be a little bit biased, the best best snow bike kit out there. But really, it's carbon fiber with a bunch of titanium parts on it. You know, like, you can't really get any better than that. And the game that we play with these things is how light can we make them to make them faster, basically, how to jump them better and, you know, things like that. So it's definitely difficult, but they, you know, I had one phone call with Yeti Snowmex, and they were like, all right, we want to sponsor you. And I was like, wow. So it just shows how amazing they are, you know, just to have people that believe in you and believe in your mission, especially with the women's involvement that I have, you know, they believe in that too. So it's super awesome to have people like that behind me.
Yeah. Well, and no, I agree. And, you know, here's a question for you. You know, I know we, you know, we're talking about, you know, kits right now, you know, and kits that you apply to a dirt bike. Do you see at some point, like one of these manufacturers coming in and being like, all right, we're going to make a dedicated snow bike. It's not a kit. It's just a legit snow bike. You know what I mean? Designed from the ground up, you know, to be a snow bike, you know, and it's not a dirt bike that got adapted over. Do you see at some point, you know, in the future, one of these manufacturers making a legit, just a snow bike?
Articott actually tried one of those, and it didn't work out too well. But, you know, it is interesting to think about how these kits will change in the future. And kind of like what I said earlier, like, we put so much time into dirt bikes, like however many decades into developing these motorcycles to be the best that they can be. Well, how much, like, over that much time, how much will these kits change? Like, really, I foresee them moving under the motorcycle more, you know, to shorten them a bit. Like, I've noticed with Timber Sled's new race model, it's quite a bit farther underneath the bike. And, you know, if you look at a snowmobile, the track is way pushed under the body of it. So I think that's something that could change. I definitely think that we got to figure out how to make dirt bikes run better in the winter because, you know, they like 60 degrees and most of the time we're racing at 30. So that's also something that can change in the future. I don't think it would be a bad thing for a brand to come out with a snow bike specific bike. You know, it would make it a lot easier for the average consumer to go out and buy a snow bike instead of having to go buy a 450 and then buy a kit. You know, but also, who knows how it's going to change over the next 5 more years.
Yeah, well, you know, and I know, like, you talked, and I know when they first came out, you know, it was kind of a one-size-fits-all, you know, track and things like that, and there weren't a whole lot of options. Now there's options. I mean, we see the guys on, you know, in freestyle and X Games, and, you know, they're running a really, really short track so they can backflip easier and things like that, and I think, like, now it's kind of cool that we're to the point where it's not a one-size-fits-all. Like, you can actually go and adapt things and kind of really customize them to your riding style, you know?
Yeah, and they make longer kits for backcountry riding, too, to help with climbing and deep powder conditions. So there are options, but on the racing side, I foresee things becoming shorter and narrower and, you know, more easily maneuverable. Yeah. Than what, not that they're difficult now, but, you know, than what it is right now.
Yeah. Well, I got to ask, have you talked about backcountry, and I know Chris Barant's been trying to get me out on a snow bike in some backcountry there in Colorado for quite a while, but have you had a chance to take a snow bike into the backcountry? Because from what I understand, like, you guys are racing them on the track, but they say, like, a snow bike is really home when you're out in, like, the deep powder in the backcountry. Like, that's where those things really just, like, hook up, and it's so much fun.
Yeah, for sure. I had a handful of days out in the backcountry, and that's really where snow biking began, is in the backcountry of Idaho. So, you know, that's what they're originally designed to do, and that's kind of what they're good at. It's so much fun. It's so creative. You know, just like any sort of free riding, you know, you have to see that line. You have to pick it and go for it and through the tight trees, and it's different than a snowmobile because it's so much narrower. You can sit between trees and find a hidden meadow that no snowmobile has touched all year, and so it's a really cool opportunity to explore really nature and places that you might not be able to get on a dirt bike in the summer. Like, if you got across a river, it's frozen in the winter, you can just go across it and you can find a whole another side that you've never explored before. So it's pretty cool, and it's definitely something I wish I had the opportunity to do more of.
Yeah, well, and you know, that being said, like, had any scary moments on any kind of like water crossings or something like that? I know, like, I always hear crazy stories about, like, you know, Levi was telling me about, like, when he was a kid, the ice started to crack and he just gunned it and he's like going over open water and stuff like that. Like, you're from Minnesota, you deal with frozen lakes. Like, you ever had any scary moments like that out there?
No, I mean, really, tree wells, that's about it. And that was kind of, you know, that's my bad, just getting too close to them, but those will eat you up for sure.
Yeah. So any, you know, I know freestyle's taken off. Any part of you that goes, man, I think I really want to hit one of these big kickers or something like that? Are you pretty happy just staying on the track?
No, I'm good on the track. I'm not a huge jumper to begin with, so yeah, I will pass on the ramp this year.
Yeah. Well, and you know, here's a question, like, legit question, like, you know, you're quite a bit smaller, you know what I mean, than a lot of the guys you're racing against. I mean, you know, and there's times in racing where smaller, lighter is an advantage. I mean, and you're competitive, you know what I mean? You're competitive with the guys. Like, how have you adapted to I know you got to work out. Like, one, I know you're working out quite a bit just to be able to do the amount of sheer amount of races that you're doing in a day at some of these events and things like that. But how have you been able to adapt, you know what I mean, just to compete with some of the guys that are a little bit bigger? Because you figured out a way to do it, you know, and you're wicked fast.
Thank you. It's just seat time, really. Like, in the summer, I ride a KTM 150, and then I, you know, the first ride of the year on a 450 with a kit, that thing is heavy. and so it's just, you know, getting used to that again. And, you know, I do go to the gym. I run a lot. I weightlift a lot. And, yeah, time and effort. But there are advantages and disadvantages to being little. Definitely starts, like, that's cool, especially when we were in Colorado racing at elevation. I pulled a couple hole shots. That was pretty awesome, just to be smaller at altitude against, you know, there's a lot of mod bikes out there. Yeah. My bike is very stock, so that was a good advantage for me. But also the disadvantage is that, you know, being aggressive through jumps and things like that, like, I don't have the weight to throw around on my bike to make it do what I want all the time. Like, obviously, you know, I can do a little bit, but it's different than if I was 50 to, you know, 100 pounds heavier than I am right now.
Yeah, so like you said, seat time, picking your lines, kind of hitting your marks. You know, I feel like you got to be a lot more precise than probably some of the guys. Like, you probably have no room to be sloppy. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they can make a mistake and, you know what I mean, and they've got weight and everything else to bail them out. Like, you, I feel like you've got to hit your marks, like, every single time, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. If I swap something, like, if I come off the lip of a jump and I swap in a weird way or something like that, like, I'm toast. I'm on the ground for sure. And, you know, that's just something else to learn how to counteract, I guess. But like you said, it's different to have a little bit more weight to you to push the motorcycle where you want it to go.
Yeah. So what's the worst off you've had on a snow bike?
That one at ERX at the end of the day. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, no, I saw it. Yeah.
Yeah, that was not good. I don't really know what happened. I was very exhausted by that point, and it was, you know, it was like the second to last lap I did all day. And
you were gassed at that point. Like, to your credit, like, you were completely gassed. Like, I don't think there's one person there that went, oh, she made a mistake. I think it was everybody like, oh man, that girl is tired. You know what I mean? Like, I think that was sheer. And you could see when you were getting up, you're just like, I'm over it. It's time to be done for today.
Hand me the walker, like, I'm out. I feel like it took me like 3 or 4 days to recover from that. Like, my body was just exhausted after that day. And you know, we talk about bad get offs, but really, like, it wasn't that bad because I landed in soft snow. If that would have been dirt, I would have, you know, I would have broken something. So it's different. It's definitely different than crashing on dirt. It's, you know, crashing is never good, but definitely a little bit more ideal than what it could have been.
Yeah, no, and I never really thought about that too. And I mean, trust me, I know a get off hurts in the snow, like, you know, especially in some of the hard pack, like, it, you know, it's not softer, but I didn't really think about that. You know, I guess it probably is a, It is a little bit more forgiving than the dirt, and you know you're not getting quite as much, you know, I guess probably cuts and scrapes and bruises when you fall in the snow as you would on hard packed dirt and things like that. Like, I guess there is a little bit of an advantage, you know what I mean, to being able to crash in the snow.
Yeah, this weekend at Canterbury, I got taken out, and the guy ran over my front fender. He ran over my handlebars and broke the metal perch, like just cut it.
Perch.
Okay, so that's like, yeah. And wow. I was like, well, that's insane. But that was with his ski. His track ran over my hand, and I'm lucky my hand was in the snow. Like, it flexed with the snow. If it would have been dirt, like, my hand would have been broken. Like, I'm so thankful for the FXR medical crew they have there. They can x-ray right there on the spot. I was like, guys, like, my hand just got run over, and it's pretty sore still from this weekend. But honestly, like, if that was dirt, it would have been broken for sure.
Yeah. Is there, and I gotta ask, like, you know, and I know, like, just from being around you at ERX and stuff like that, like, you guys are all a big family. You know what I mean? Like, you knew everybody on the track. Like, you know every storyline. Like, I swear X yeah. Games are idiots if they don't have you in the booth calling things. Like, straight up, I'm just going to say it out there, and I know people at X Games listen. Jackie Reese, she needs to be in the booth at X Games. I'm just saying. But
I wish. Oh, my gosh, I wish. I wish our races, our series didn't overlap.
Yeah.
Like, they told us this year that they weren't going to, and they were. Two races overlapped with each other. So hopefully next year we get it figured out, because it's really no good for the sport if the whole show can't be in one place.
Yeah.
So it's only beneficial to each series to have everybody there. Yes. But I would enjoy announcing, definitely. And like you said, it is a big family, and I know everybody because, you know, I've been doing this for 3 years, and that's kind of when this whole thing started really taking off. And I get to know everybody, and it may be different because, you know, I'm the girl and I'm a little, like, easy to talk to or something. But, you know, I hear everybody's stories. I hear their difficulties. I hear what they're doing in the gym and things like that. So, you know, it's definitely exciting for me to watch my friends on TV at X Games.
Yeah. So you ever, like, you're talking about getting taken out. Is there ever a point where, like, you know, obviously they know you're a competitor, and you go back to the pits, and, like, you ever get fired up and they see you, like, coming at them? They're like, oh, man, what do I do now? Like, you know, on a move like that, I mean, is there ever a switch that gets flipped and you're just like, nice on?
I mean, I don't go at people, but the people around me know I'm fired up. I'm like, oh, my gosh, did you see that guy? And really, like, there is a target on my back. Like, no guy wants to get beat by the girl, yeah. You know? So it's this weekend, you know, I was telling you earlier, it was kind of difficult. But, I got landed on 3 times. I got taken out twice. Like, it was not an ideal weekend, and that's kind of, you know, a testament to how rough and challenging racing these dudes is.
Yeah.
Like, really, it's no easy thing to just go out there. It's not like we're just going out there racing. We're like, we're Robins racing at these kinds of things.
Yeah. Well, and you, I guess you gotta respect them too, because they're racing you like any other competitor. One, they don't want to lose to a girl, but two, like, they have a respect level where they'll race against you hard enough where, you know what I mean, they're not laying up. You know, they're bringing their A game with you, you know?
Yep.
So that's got to make you feel awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, that too. And, you know, that's what I get for racing these dudes. You know, I'm not just going to the races where they have a women's class. Like, this is what I signed up for. However difficult or, you know, down-putting it can be, it's, you know, it's the statement I'm trying to make is that, you know, we're this women, we are this tough too. So,
nice.
You know, if I can take the brunt of that for, you know, for other women to have an opportunity at some point, I'll do it.
Yeah. Well, Jackie, it's been fun having you on the show. I know we've taken up 2 segments here on the national show, and we'll probably drop this as a podcast too, standalone. So, I appreciate the time. Always fun. You know, it was fun, you know, calling, you know, the races with you. Hopefully we see you out at the track soon, and we'll definitely have to stay in
touch. I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver.
Sure,
I race
so
trophy
much.
Trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even
even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of RZR vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a RZR 170 like me, take the entire family out in a RZR XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new RZR XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris RZR. Check out the full Polaris RZR lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris RZR.
Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing Anywhere is Possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Are you looking for a place to push yourself behind the wheel and see how your driving skills stack up? Dirtfish Rally School is that place. Located on 315 acres of pristine automotive playground at the foot of the Cascade Mountains in Snoqualmie, Washington, right outside of Seattle, Dirtfish Rally School is a one-of-a-kind place where everyone from first-time drivers to seasoned professionals like Bucky Lassick and Antoine Lestage can push themselves to their limit. Whether driving the high-performance, rally-prepped, all-wheel drive Subaru Impreza STI is what you're looking for, or you'd rather hang it all out in the rear-wheel drive Subaru BRZ, Dirtfish Rally School has something for everyone. Classes are available from 2 hours to three full days and feature instructors with over 150 years of combined racing experience. Whether you're looking to become the best and get an edge on the competition, or just looking to freshen your skills behind the wheel, Dirtfish Rally School is the place to go. For more information on registering for classes, visit Dirtfish on the web at dirtfish.com, or to check out the latest happenings from Dirtfish, follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Dirtfish Rally.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris RZR. All killer and no filler.
All right, I'd like to welcome, one of my good friends and one of my guests this week, my boy Street Bike Tommy, to the show. Tommy,
yes, sir.
What is going on? You are officially back in the TV business, huh?
That's right. I mean, you know, it's not digital, that is.
Yeah, so back on the airwaves, they actually let you back on TV. Well, I know this has actually been one you and I have talked confidentially, and I kind of knew something was cranking for a while. But, dude, they gave you a TV show where all you do is blow things up. I mean, like, is there actually a better gig on the planet than that?
You know, I actually made that joke when I found out, like, what it was, because, funny story, Jeff Tremaine's right-hand lady, Shauna, she hit me up, and she gave me a FaceTime middle of the night. And I was like, hey, what's up? How are things? Like, you know, we shot shit for a minute. And then I was like, so what's up? Because I haven't talked to her in a while. And she said, oh, sorry. You think you might want to be on TV again? And I was like, yeah. Like,
no, I don't want to be on TV. Right? I'm retired, right? Yeah, right? No brainer.
Yeah. No, I'm good. So I was like, yeah, no problem. She goes, well, what about your barbecue business? I know you're doing the barbecue thing. And I was like, yeah, I mean, I'll figure it out no matter what, because, like, I'm down for a TV show. Like, let's go. And then, you know, she was like, okay, cool. I'll pass that along, and then we'll have somebody call you tomorrow, and we can do a FaceTime interview, and then we'll record it and send it in part of the sizzle reel. And I was like, all right, cool. So, like, what am I doing? And then, yeah, so when she told me, I instantly thought it was a joke because it's from Jeff Tremaine and Gorilla Flicks. So I was like, yeah, sure. So this is a real thing. I'm going to go around and blow stuff up. Yeah, right. So, like, literally the only thing that could be cooler if I got a job doing a TV show, following me around, like, oiling up Hawaiian Tropic Models or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, well, and it's funny, too, like, with something like this, because, like, it could go either way. Like, with you, it could be a legitimate, hey, we're going to blow stuff up. This is a TV show. Or they could be rebooting, like, Punked, and you're getting punked on this deal, getting all excited, then all of a sudden the rug's going to get pulled out from under you. So I get it, dude. Like, you got to play it both ways. You want to be excited, be like, am I getting punked? Like, where's the candid camera here, you know?
Dude, legitimately, like, me and Tori both, like, Tori Bellici, he's the one who actually pitched it to Jeff and the team. And me and him both, like, until probably the third episode, we didn't really think it was real. We thought it was just like an expensive ploy.
You never know. Are they making a TV show with us actually, you know, making a TV show? Or is this all like candid camera? Like, yeah, they're just like, nah. Some elaborate scheme. Which is funny because I never would have thought, but I'm like, yeah, you're a dude that actually has to look over your shoulder and always be watching your back because you've got all these really good friends, but you got a whole lot of really good friends that like to play, like, elaborate pranks, man. So you got to be watching your back all the time.
Oh, yeah. And here's a little piece of information also that nobody really, I don't think, remembers. But I got a target on my back from a long, 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 long time ago. The very first thing I ever did on TV ever was actually I punked Travis when Punked was punked.
Dude, and I can't even I'm trying to think, like, I thought I've seen most of stuff. I didn't realize that. So you actually punked TP, huh?
Oh yeah, dude, you gotta watch it. It's pretty funny.
I'm sure it's on YouTube at this point. I got to man, that's that's rad. I didn't realize that, so
I don't think anybody really remembers that. That was, god, that must have been 2005.
That's
something funny. Like that.
Dude, that's like OG. Like, I don't want to say, yeah, dude, that's like OG Nitro, like early days. Like, those pictures you post where, like, gosh, like, dude, you were like, I don't know, like all clean cut and like Jolene. You don't even recognize Jolene, you know? Travis was like all American kid, you know? Like, holy crap. That was early. That was early days.
So crazy. So crazy.
Yeah, which is funny. You ever look back and you're like, man, we've come a long way. This has been a roller coaster.
Yeah, I mean, we grew up on TV pretty much. You know what I mean? Like, the first couple years outside of high school was pretty much all those DVD days, you know? And people just, I mean, we've been on TV for such a long time, you know? And people forget that people change, man, you know? And they look back at the old stuff. I'm like, yeah, of course I look younger. I was a baby.
Yeah, which is funny, dude, because there's like a double-edged sword there again, because, like, I remember my college days, you know, and that, and, like, honestly, I'm glad 99% of that stuff, like, you know, cell phone video was in its infancy and stuff like that, dude. Like, I'm glad that stuff, there's no record of that. Like, you guys have a record of it,
lie.
You know what I mean? Like, part of me goes, oh, we did some fun stuff I wish I would have on video. And then I'm like, yeah, but I'm pretty glad, like, 90% of it doesn't exist. Like, you know, I'm like, yeah, like.
Dude. And it's funny because I also think that, too, because, like, even back then, at least it wasn't instant. You know what I mean? Like, you had to have a pretty cool camera. You had to have the batteries charged. Like, it wasn't just your phone, which you carry with you all the time and monitor the battery. Like, it was its own separate thing, and it had a case. And,
had
like,
those
it was
cassette
cumbersome.
Tapes, those the small, like, video VCR cassette tapes that went in the video camera. Dude, I'm just... Yeah, there was ways to make video, but it was, yeah, like you said, it wasn't instant like now where it's like, boom, we're live on the internet. Everybody can see, you know, and like if somebody.
World star.
Yeah. Oh, dude. Yeah. Well, and then along came what? MySpace, right? Did you have a MySpace, Tommy?
Dude, I hope to God somebody can pull my MySpace up, man. And my MySpace was so cool.
Dude.
Oh, man.
You know that's archived somewhere. Didn't Justin Timberlake buy MySpace at one time? Like, you know that whole thing's archived at some place. It's out there. You know, it's like, I wish somebody who bought that company or owns it would just like, hey, we're re-releasing MySpace. Like, OG, original stuff, you still have your original accounts and make it a thing again, you know?
Yeah, just like just open it up.
Just open it up and let everybody like take their 15, 20-year-old stuff that they haven't seen forever and like that account's active and just like re-roll with it, you know? Like how rad would that be?
Dude, I'd be all about that.
Dude, we need to get together. You, me, TP's got more money than both of us, so we're going to have somebody bankroll this. We need to make a play for this company and be like, hey, we're going to buy MySpace.
I don't think TP got no long loot like that. That's some Justin Timberlake stuff. I don't know nothing about.
Yeah, but you know, like I don't know. This stuff's like all, dude. It's out there somewhere. Like you wonder where that's all at. Somebody that or that. What is it? MySpace Tom. I was reading something recently about him. That dude cashed out on that whole thing, and he just travels now, dude. He's got like an Instagram, and he updates it about once a month with like pictures of him on all these beaches and stuff. And I'm like, dude, like, I wish that was me. Like, I wish I was smart enough at 20 to start something and just cash out and travel the world.
Oh, dude, it'd be so rad. I mean, that's the goal, right? That's the ultimate goal.
Yeah. I was always, I'm going to be retired by the time I'm 40. I'm 39 now, dude. That ain't happening.
You never know. There's always a lottery.
Dude, yeah, it's going to be Powerball or something because it definitely isn't going to be anything else, man.
Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, we'll go back to talk about TV in a minute, but I know you mentioned the barbecue business. I know we had you on, I don't know, you and I talk, we text, but I can't remember last time we had you actually had on air, but how's the barbecue business going? Because I know like you were amped, like you started the food truck and then it like steamrolled into, all of a sudden there was like a brick and mortar barbecue spot that like closed up and it was like turnkey. You could all of a sudden jump into having your own building. And then like all of a sudden, like you're legit, Tommy, like you're a business owner. Like, wow. You're like living the American dream
sir.
For sure, dude. Like how the hell's that been?
Yeah. Looks good on paper. And then you're like, you're the one doing it. And you're like, ah, man, responsibilities.
I got employees. Like, oh man.
Just, yeah. I'm actually just now leaving, my restaurant now.
How is the brick and mortar barbecue business? I mean, like, obviously you got to be having some fun with it. You know, I know there's got to be a stress level you probably didn't even ever fathom you'd have though, too.
Yeah, I mean, it's been really cool, man. I love doing it. Every morning I'm the one that wakes up and gets to the restaurant you know, by 5:30 and gets all the meat going for the day. And I set the restaurant up and then like I'm there until 2 actually, cutting the meat and serving everyone. So, it's pretty cool cause people don't expect that, you know, and then I just kind of stand there and shoot the shit with everybody. And, the restaurant's looking pretty cool. I got a lot of really rad stuff on the walls. People are really digging the food, which is super nice, man. I can't tell you how much like that means, like just seeing like the response on Google, Yelp and all that stuff. And actually like having people come up and tell me how good it is. It's definitely the fun part, man. It's really rewarding. And you know, I am all over the place because I did shoot a TV show within all of that. It's like, man, it's been 2018 was a lot.
Yeah. Well, that's got to be kind of rad, though, for people. Like, I didn't even think about that. But, you know, there's a lot of these celebrity restaurants. We're going to call yours a celebrity restaurant. You're celebrity.
That's right. Yeah.
We're going to call it that. But, like, even, like, something like Pawn Stars, dude. Like, people go in Vegas to the Pawn Stars. Those cats are never in that building except for the film. You know what I mean? Like, people go into your restaurant, and you're posting stuff on Instagram and stuff, and they come in. Like, to some people, it's probably got to be a shock. Like, oh, hell, Tommy's actually here. Like, he's serving us. Like to me, that's kind of rad because a lot of people in your position, they wouldn't be doing that. And like you said, you got some other projects where you're not there every single day. But, like, 9 times out of 10, you're on site. You're there. You're cooking the food. Like, to me, like, that goes a long way with people because, like, it's not just your name on the building. Like, you're actually there, you know what I mean, putting in the effort. Like, it's your meat. Like, it's your baby.
Yeah. I love it, man. It really is so cool, man. Like, we've done a lot of local stuff We were on the local news 2 weeks ago, and then they talk about us on the radio quite a bit around here, man. It's a really, really cool thing, man. And like, to be doing it myself, like, all those compliments that I do see online, like, that, it means that much more, because those are my hands, you know what I mean? Like, I did that. That was something that I did, you know?
Well, and part of you, too, it's got to be kind of weird, because, like, this whole barbecue thing started out as, like, a hobby, and all of a sudden it's become, like, an occupation. I guess that could be said with me and radio and whatever the hell I consider myself nowadays, but, like, that part of you's got to be like, man, this is kind of crazy, from going and buying your first smoker or whatever to now all of a sudden, like, you know, having this building and employees, and, like, you know, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah, the funny thing is like, I didn't even have a cooking background. Like, I never really – that was never really my thing. I, like, just kind of, like, always ate at restaurants and stuff. And once I actually – it was just crazy happenstance that I got a Traeger from a guy that happened to be dropping one off at Travis's house in California when I was there. And, you know, Trav needed a hand. So I handled the Traeger guy and, like, showed him where to set stuff up. And I got talking to him, and he was like, hey, man, you got a social media following? And I was like, yeah. And he sent a Traeger my way, and then I just started cooking stuff that was in that book that came with the grill. And, man, it's turned from that into this restaurant. It's really – really crazy how that all worked out.
Yeah. Are you one of those guys like me where right away you were immediately like, oh, dude, I got to go on YouTube and watch these cats and know how to cook? And like, were you doing YouTube instructionals, like just taking them all in?
So the majority of everything that I've learned in my life has started at YouTube. And then, like, once I get really, like, passionate about something by doing YouTube videos and like finding stuff out myself, that's when I start, like, sourcing out, like, actual for real professionals that can teach me in person to do the extended, like, lessons. You know what I mean? Like, I'm lucky enough. I did an apprenticeship, kind of, if you had to call it anything. Like, I worked in my buddy's restaurant, Cameron True, who owns Bam Bam's Barbecue in Orem, Utah. He invited me out, and I actually worked in his restaurant for about 2 months. That's my only restaurant experience to this day besides my own. And he really showed me, like, how to do production barbecue. And I lived in his basement for 2 months working at his restaurant. It was crazy.
Dude, that's gnarly. Well, it's funny, too. And one thing I've learned about restaurants, and I know nothing about them, I always thought, oh, it'd be cool to have a bar and grill or something like that. I really don't need to do that because I don't need another headache. But, like, dude, like, I think people on the outside go, oh, that would be fun. But then you start getting in and you start, like, I go to barbecue in my backyard, dude. It's no expense spared. I'm going to buy the most expensive cut of meat, the most expensive this, that. Like, it's like, but, like, when you own a restaurant, you got to start looking at food costs. And then when the market fluctuates,
everything,
like, it affects this. And, you know, dude, like, has it taken some of the fun out of it a little bit, or are you still like, you know, like, you know, still all about it?
Definitely the hardest I've worked in my whole life. Like, I've never worked this hard ever.
You there?
Did I lose you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm driving. I'm on the back roads of, Shadyside, Maryland.
Shadyside, Maryland.
Yeah, man, it's where I grew up.
So you said it's been the hardest you've ever worked, though. Does that, dude? I gotta ask, because I mean the whole thing was with nitro and everything else. I don't ever want to go back to doing drywall. Well, at some point, dude, is that, like, you're looking at that going, that might actually be easier than what I'm doing now?
It would be easier, but it's not as rewarding. It's not my own, and it's. The main thing that I didn't like about drywall was hanging. It wasn't a problem because, like, I'm good at physical, but even finishing was never really a big deal. The only thing that really turned me off about drywall was sanding it. Like, sanding drywall is the worst thing that you can do. Like, cause you're breathing it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whether you got a mask on or not, you're breathing it. And like, you wake up middle of the night coughing and hacking, and it's just, I felt really, really unhealthy.
Yeah. So we'll put you on the spot on the drywall conversation. You're doing a room addition to your house. You hiring somebody to do the drywall, or are you doing it yourself?
Oh, I'm doing it myself.
Okay. All right. All right. So you'll still do that. You're like, nah, we're going to save a buck. I'm going to pay somebody else to do it.
Yeah. The only reason why I was able to open my restaurant was that I had the skills needed to actually do the physical build out. Like I refinished all the walls, repainted everything, put in a new ceiling, recoated the floors, did 4 coats of poly down on the floors because the concrete was trash. Was able to get in there and bust the whole thing out myself. Because if I had to pay somebody, I wouldn't have been able to do it.
Yeah. Do you still have the food truck, or did you end up punting that, or do you still have the truck? Because that was a legit rig you bought. I mean, that was like next level for barbecue and all that. Do you still have that, or did that end up going down the road?
You know, I wish I really could have hung on to it. I don't have that anymore because the entire first 7-8 months that the brick and mortar was open, we didn't move the truck. So, I mean, it's like it was a lot of overhead just to be sitting around doing nothing. It was on a handshake deal from actually the guy that I apprenticed under, Cameron True. And, you know, I felt really bad because it was just so much money just sitting around doing nothing. So I did take it back to him. So we're good there.
Nice.
And the brick and mortar is where it's at. You know, it's like you can sell every day and stuff like that. So it's definitely awesome.
Yeah. So, So, I mean, on a daily basis, it's kind of weird, dude, because I know at one point, like when I first met you and I met Jolene first and you and TP and everybody, like, dude, it was like Nitro and everything was cranking on all cylinders. Everybody was there in Maryland, you know, Hubert was there keeping everything running. Wessel was building ramps. Like everybody was kind of close, like, you know, in the area and stuff like that. Now I feel like, you know, everybody's kind of, Jolene's in SoCal now, and like you're there. Wessel's like become a nomad. We don't even know where the hell he's at any given time. I haven't even talked to Hubert in probably like 4 or 5 months, and I used to get almost daily texts from him. Like, you feel like, I mean, everybody's still kind of around the compound once in a while, or like you guys ever get together? Like, I feel like everybody's kind of scattered a little bit, you know, the past couple of years.
Well, the original cast of Nitro, me, Jolene, Jim, Special, like, we're all, you know, nobody's doing anything with Nitro currently. We all kind of have our own projects going on, mostly because it's, like, all touring now.
Yeah.
There's no, like, TV or movies that we're doing. But it's a world tour, and these kids nowadays are sending it so big and like, you know, budgeting, they don't really have our numbers and stuff like that. So I mean, it's one of those things where cost wise it just makes more sense for them to do it with, like, you know, the younger athletes that are out there trying to make a name for themselves and stuff like that. And man, they put on a great show. But everybody, you know, Jolene, she's a stunt woman in California. You know, she's in, you know, big time movies now. And, you know, Jim's here. He does a lot of demolition work, you know, commercial construction and stuff like that, that he's doing good. And Special Greg's hanging tires for NASCAR down in North Carolina. So, I mean, it's kind of funny. And Andy Bell actually has his own production company, and he makes big time commercials for like Toyota and stuff.
Yeah, dude, he's killing it.
So, I mean, yeah.
That was, didn't they do something, correct me if I'm wrong, I know, like, so when we put you in that rally car with Rally America, then, like, a couple events later, didn't Bell get you to do, like, some TV for, like, Toyota at the event or something like that?
Yeah, so he had me doing some hosting gig for Toyota for the last stop of that that year's season. And I just had, you know, that's just happenstance that I was there, but I ended up placing third in the season for having my points from the one race. so I was pretty pumped.
Yeah, well, it was one race that you won. It was funny. I kind of forgot about that whole thing, and then actually, it was kind of sometime in December. Somebody tagged me on Twitter on the video because Nitro came out, and then I was used in the video a little bit, and somebody tagged me in it. I went back and watched that, and I kind of had forgotten about that whole thing. You know what I mean? And that whole project. And then I was like, oh, I forgot. Like, Tommy's legit rally winner there.
That's right. We came home with the B-spec victory.
Yeah. You're undefeated, dude. Undefeated in rally competition.
No big deal.
Batting 1,000. You better record than TP, dude. You're perfect.
Oh, dude. I'm against Travis in actual for real sanctioned competition, I'm undefeated. I even beat him in Big Buck Hunter World Championships.
I forgot about that too. You know what's sad? Like, does stuff like that still to this day is a little bit under TP's skin? Like at some point he's gonna put you in a rally car just so he can beat you.
Yeah, I mean, I show up when it's time. I don't put my game face on until I have to.
Dude, I felt so bad for him because all that went down. And, everything's going on. And then homie's motorhome broke down on the way back to Pennsylvania or to, to Maryland, dude. I felt so bad. I was like, you want to kick a boy when he's down? TP had it that weekend so bad.
Oh, dude. Because we rode up together. And my lady at the time drove my car up. And we were, driving home separate. But, he didn't even stick around to see how I was going to do in the rally. Once he crashed, he packed everything up and he rolled out. But then when he broke down, the funny part was I even beat him home. He was so upset, man. But he's a good sport, man. Trav, he's definitely a heart of gold, like one of the best dudes in the entire world because, like, as mad as you can be at something like that and, like, be like, oh, well, you'd have never beat me. You're not better than me. Like, he knows. He knows that I would never beat him in a rally. Like, he lets me jab at him every once in a while and bring it up. But he's been just a super good sport about all that, I know it gets under his skin just because, like, you got other people coming to him and saying, hey, remember that time Tommy beat you in a rally? we all know it's in good fun and He knows exactly who he is. So it's pretty cool having a buddy like him, man.
Yeah, no. Dude, you want to talk about a heart of gold. I've known TP for years, and then when we got to spend like almost a week together doing that whole Star Car thing in the middle of nowhere, Nevada, like we really got to know each other. And you want to talk about just a genuine salt of the earth dude, you know what I mean? Like he's exactly that.
Right.
But dude, that boy likes to have some
fun. Yeah.
And then one thing I learned, dude, you guys had told me there's always bets going on. I did not realize with TP, dude, they're literally like everything is bet on. Everything. You better have a roll of hundreds in your wallet or something because, dude, there's always a bet on something,
It never turns off, ever.
No, it's like what color is the car going to come around the corner next, or something. Like it could be the stupidest thing, there's money on it. It's like so dumb.
Yeah, it's he's definitely a cut from a single piece of cloth, and they did not make two.
Dude, a true story there. So take us back to this TV show, man. I know so episode one is dropped. How many episodes we got in the season? What can we expect out of this? Where can people tune in, man? Because I don't know. Tommy blowing stuff up, it seems to go hand in hand pretty good. I think the ratings got to be pretty solid for this.
Dude, so far, we had the first episode premiere last Wednesday, 10 p.m. Eastern, and it's on the Science Channel. And it's funny, man, like, I wasn't expecting it to really be anything. Like, I was just kind of like, oh, yeah, I get to do this. Science Channel greenlit us for six 1-hour episodes is what we filmed. The first one just came out last week. And the numbers are good, man. Like, we actually are the second highest rated premiere that Science has ever had.
Really?
And that's counting,
even when cable was much, much bigger. So it's actually really impressive in today's climate with the TV the way it is,
yeah.
You know, because most people are streaming to have those numbers. So it was very, very impressive, and it's looking good, man. We got another episode coming up tonight at 10 p.m., Science Channel. And if you don't have Science Channel, Science actually has an app. It's called Science Go. And you don't need a TV provider or anything like that. You can watch the episodes that are currently coming out for free on the app. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. So what's the premise of the show? Obviously, we know you're blowing stuff up, you know what I mean? But obviously, it's on Science Channel, too. So there's going to be a little bit of a backstory to, like, kind of the science of things. But, like, kind of take us through the first episode, you know, and, like, what can people expect when they're tuning in? Because obviously, Tommy and explosions go hand in hand. But what are they actually going to get on the TV show?
So there's actually so much science involved. And actually, like, I actually watched the episode last week for the first time, like, when it came out. So I actually didn't even know what to expect. So when I actually saw so much information and, like, they had diagrams and, like, there was actually a lot of science, for real science on the show to go along with, like, explaining explosions and blast pressure and, you know, all kinds of stuff. I was very, very surprised at the amount of science that was actually in it. But it's the show premise is essentially kind of, if I had to describe it anyway, it's kind of like Dirty Jobs.
Okay.
But instead of the jobs being dirty, they're explosives. So we're showcasing jobs in the explosives industry and kind of like explaining the science of explosions throughout.
So your next job is going to be an explosive expert. We've gone from stunt guy to barbecue guy. Now we're going to be your resume is going to be pretty deep after this. Explosions, barbecue, stunts. Yeah. Like
I'm looking to be a published scientist, you know. So.
Oh, dude, that's next thing you know, they're going to be on the next, like, lunar mission where they're going to land astronauts on the moon here in a few years or something, you know.
That actually wouldn't be too far outside of my scope because I did go to space camp when I was a kid. So.
Did you really? That was one of those. I always wanted to go to space camp. So did you get to do the floating around? Because don't they have, like, an anti-gravity room or something? Or was that, like, a wind tunnel? I don't know. I just remember the TV commercials on Nickelodeon, dude. It was like, I think that was like the on Double Dare. That was like the ultimate prize, sending you to space camp or something.
Dude, I actually did go down to Alabama. I went to the actual space camp, and I did do the zero G experience. But it's not a room; they put you in a plane, and the plane flies faster to the Earth than gravity. So that's where you get your zero G, because as soon as they go into a dive, you are experiencing zero G until they pull back up.
Wow.
Or until you hit the ground.
Dude, that's gnarly. Dude, as a kid, that's got to be kind of intense, though. Like, being in a plane that all of a sudden's, like, heading towards the ground. Like,
it was super cool, man. Like, it was so, like, of my childhood, that was one of my greatest childhood experiences that I can remember, man. And we didn't come from a lot of means, man. So shout out to my pops for holding it down for us, because we had, like, no money. And he was able to send me, my brother, and my sister to space camp when we were kids. And we didn't do a lot. Like, my whole childhood, we didn't do a lot, but we did do that.
But, dude, that's saying something, though, to have that experience as a kid. And after everything you've done now, like, in your career, and you've done just about anything anybody's ever wanted to do, you know what I mean? Like, to go back and be like, dude, that was one of my best memories from being a kid is space camp. Like, dude, that's saying a lot, dude. That's kind of rad, you know, that to have that experience and be able to go back to and be like, yeah, that was awesome.
Because, like, that's the one thing that I hope I get to pass along in my lifetime is just that people need to realize that it's not doing something. It's when you do it and what it means to you at that point in your life. Like,
I still remember those memories extremely fondly because of at what point in my life that happened to me.
Yeah.
You know, like, if I was, you send me a space camp right now, I'm going to be like, this is so dumb. Like, why am I here? You know what I mean? But capturing that, you know, that childhood excitement and like wonder, you know, and man, it just sparks so much creativity in you as a kid. And, you know, it really opens your mind up because like I traveled, like that was the first time I traveled by myself ever without my parents. They put me on a plane and sent me on my way. I spent two and a half weeks, something like that.
Wow.
In Alabama at space camp and no parents and just being there bunking up and like, you know, being put in a new situation with new kids, new friends. And it was definitely one of the best experiences of my life because of when it happened to me, you know?
Yeah. Dude, and that's funny because I think there's something to be said of like I remember when I was a kid, I went to basketball camp in Tucson at the University of Arizona, and like I went for like 3 or 4 years, and it's one of those like you're going away from home. There might be one other kid you know from your town, but by and large, there's kids from all over the state or the country there, and like you're thrown into these dorms with somebody you don't even know, and like you know you're yeah. like on your own. And as a kid, dude, that's kind of crazy to be like, oh, I'm living on my own for a week, you know, and like one, you have a lot of fun, but two, like it's a dude, you learn a lot about people, about yourself. Like it's kind of completely different, you know.
I honestly, if you have the ability to send your kids off to do something like that, I firmly believe you should because it just makes you a better person, you know. It teaches you how to be respectful to people and you know fit in new situations like that, and it you know it lets you know that. You know, the world isn't just your backyard, you know, the world's a big place and it's small at the same time, you know? I really think all kids should be, you know, if they have the ability to get out and experience stuff like that, I think they should.
No, completely agreed, man. So gotta say, like we're talking about all this TV and everything else, but one thing I gotta tip my cap to you just a little bit. But your Ravens, they kind of got a good team this year, Tommy.
Yeah, let's go, Lamar. That's right. Oh man, yeah, dude, Lamar's been on fire, and my good friend Matt Judon, he has just been incredible defense, man. He's been sacking quarterbacks, making plays, man. Like, the whole team in general has been insane, man. And what about old Pat Ricard, man? Big old 300-pound tight end. Him and Nick Falk, like, they're out there killing it, man. Like, the tight end game is strong on the Ravens.
Yeah. Well, I know you got a lot of buddies on the team. One of your buddies got shipped off here to Arizona, but how many games a year?
My man, Matt.
Yeah, dude. How many games a year you go to quite a few Ravens games? I mean, I know I see you pop up on Instagram once in a while when you're at the games and stuff like that.
Yeah, I really need to catch up with old Max Williams. Max Williams is a really good friend of mine down in Arizona, man. I was telling you, like, I'm going to try to do a double duty trip. We got to come out and hit the desert, me and you, and then we'll go catch a Cardinals game, man, because Max got extended till that, you know, through next year.
Yeah, no, dude, that's done. We got to make that deal happen. That'll be fun. Well, well, I don't know. I was going to say, we'll drag him out and put him in some Razors too, but I don't know what I'm pretty sure that's a no-no in the middle of the NFL season. They're like, no, pump the brakes. Stop. What are you thinking, you know?
Yeah, probably just won't talk about it.
Do it, and, you know, ask forgiveness later. You don't ask permission, ask forgiveness later. That's one of those deals, right?
That's been my whole career. My whole career.
So that being said, I don't know if we've ever talked about you visiting the White House, my man. Was that one of those? I got to ask, there's got to be a lot of things. You're in the White House. You're like, man, I would love to be able to check what's behind that door. I'd like to open this drawer. There had to been a lot of like urges that you didn't scratch while you were there. Like, but there had to been a lot of urges, just like curiosity. You know what I mean?
Well, so just a heads up, if you ever get a chance to go on a tour through the White House, when you're in the main foyer, don't play the piano.
Note to self, don't play the piano in the White House.
I almost got taken out, man. I walked over to the piano, and I was like, da-da-da-da-da, and I, like, hit, like, two keys, and, like, this dude, like, straight up had a step on me, and I was like, okay, I'm not touching the piano anymore, because, like, I saw his body language, and he like, had that fast twitch, like, he took a step, you know what I mean? I was like, don't touch that.
Well, and it's funny because I'm like, you know, they send TP and they send you and, you know, you guys are guys that like to push limits just in general, right? And here you guys are in the White House, and I got to feel bad for Lindsay because at some point she's probably looking around like, what the hell did I show up here with these two guys for?
Yeah, man. It was a good time for sure. big shout out to my Secret Service buddies that I met through Tim Montana.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's how we actually got to be able to be at the White House was because through Tim Montana, country music singer.
Nice.
Tim is a good friends of a lot of veterans, and he's good friends with a couple of Secret Service guys, and they were nice enough to give us the open invite through Tim. Yeah, it was that was something that I've always wanted to do because we grew up so close to Washington D.C. So yeah, that was definitely on the bucket list as far as something that I wanted to see if I was able ever. Was the White House, and that was like tippy top of one of the coolest experiences that I've been able to do was like go hang out in the White House.
Well, which is funny too because you know you got people that are like, you know, they live in SoCal, and people all the time like, oh yeah, you go to Disneyland all the time. They're like, nah. And you guys are so close to Washington D.C. and people would assume like you've been to Smithsonian, you've seen all the monuments, but it's something like it's close, so like you just it's something you don't really you probably don't go to D.C. hardly ever, right?
Well, that's the majority. Like that's like everybody that you'll talk to here. That's pretty much how it is. Like nobody really goes that's from here. But me personally, I'm a history guy, so like I really dig in like super hard on all that stuff. So like I've been to the Smithsonian quite a bit, and I've been to the Aerospace Museum, and I've been to all the monuments, and I actually grew up doing a lot of commercial construction in Washington D.C. and around those buildings, so it's always had a spot near and dear to my heart. I've been quite a bit, and you know they got some pretty nice clubs in D.C. where you can really cut loose and put your shine on.
Oh, dude, clubs in D.C. That was like straight up putting you on the spot. I know there was a point where you were a big club guy. You still ever hit them up once in a while? Is that ship sailed? Like you're better off just the local local watering hole having a drink or something.
I've definitely turned into more of a pub guy because I can't really afford that club life no more. But yeah, man, I do like to shine it up every once in a while and go big, but I haven't done that in quite some time.
Oh, that means you're due, right? If you haven't done it in quite some time.
Maybe when you're in town. Maybe when you're in town.
We'll make it happen. We'll go clubbing when I'm in town. Dude, that'll be train wreck with you and I at a club. It might be a train wreck worth watching, though. So,
dude, count me in, man. Count me in.
We'll have to make it happen for sure, man. But, dude, Tommy, always fun catching up, buddy. Congrats on the new show on Science Channel, man. I know I got it locked into the DVR, and I'm gonna have to go catch up on the first episode, and I guess get on point for tonight's. But man, always fun having you on, brother.
My man, I really appreciate you always having me on, man. It's been a really awesome friendship for a long time here, Jim, and I appreciate you.
Yeah, for sure, dude. Same thing. And we will definitely get out to Maryland this spring for sure, buddy.
Sounds good, bro. I'm waiting. I'm waiting. You just let me know.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports. The sound of the racetrack. And the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high-performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty radio show since 2012.
Do you race or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500, or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety.
Super ATV is the industry leader in aftermarket UTV and ATV parts and accessories. Super ATV products are designed, engineered, tested, and manufactured right here by Super ATV. Whether you're looking to upgrade your suspension, get stronger axles, or you're looking for a new winch to get you out of a tough spot, Super ATV has what you're looking for. And since we know you're in a hurry, we offer fast, free shipping to the lower 48 states on all orders. Visit superatv.com now and get your UTV or ATV dialed in.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I guess I got to get accustomed to it. The General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Yes, GT, thank you guys for the support. Thanks to Polaris Razor for the support as well. Vision Wheel, Dirtfish, Gibson, Exhaust, Rigid Industries. Yes, they are stepping in a big way this year. GSP XTV Axles, RacingJunk.com, iRacing, all of our amazing partners. I mean, Pro Armor in the racing program. We got all kinds of crazy partners. Impact Race Products, 4WP, Optimus. Yes, our good friends at Optimus back on board this year as well. HCR, we just have so many amazing partners. Thank you guys for the support. Thanks to all you guys for tuning in. Much appreciated for everybody. Go and smash that subscribe button on iTunes. Help us out. It does help us out when you subscribe on iTunes. Not going to lie. And if you leave a rating, it really helps us a ton. Please do that. Follow me at JimBeaver15 on social media. And you know what, guys? I got to sign off. I am going racing this weekend. We will be back to normal. We're going to have new intros. We're going to have new segments, new partners, new people. It is going to be an awesome, awesome 2020. And it all starts next week right here on the show. Thank you guys for the continued support. We're 8 years in. I mean, not many shows make it this long. And things are getting bigger and better than ever. Thank you, guys. I can't say that enough. And you know what? I'm signing off, though, because I got to strap on my Dirtfish helmet, and I got to go and try and win a race tomorrow. So thank you, guys, and we'll see you back here next week right here on the show.